Welcome to the Dope CFO Podcast, where you can find the best information for accountants and bookkeepers that want to start and grow a highly profitable and flexible remote cannabis accounting firm with your host, Andrew Hunziker. Now that's dope.
Hey, everybody. This is Andrew Hunziker, CPA, also CFO, founder of Dope CFO as well. About my background, I've been a CPA for over 25 years, was at a big four, including PricewaterhouseCoopers. I won the gold medal award for the highest score in the CPA exam, as well as was runner-up for the Portland, Oregon Business Journal CFO of Year Award in 2017, and I was the first ever cannabis CFO to be nominated. Done lots of startup work as well. And love teaching all of our community. We have now over 500 people in all 50 states in our Dope CFO program.
Hello, everybody. I'm back live. Just thinking if I could ever figure out Facebook, I might occasionally share slides or screen. But in the meantime, you just get to see my ugly face. So today we're going to hit up three myths about cannabis accounting. I think next week we're going to review the AICPA cannabis conference that's coming up next week. I'm flying out Saturday, super excited to see lots of Dope CFO VIPs there. We'll be speaking on stage as well and just meeting lots at the planning committee and others speaking at the conference. Now, this one we will talk about three myths that CEOs and founders have. First one, and really we can go many, many more. This first one says cannabis companies don't need complex cost accounting processes, a permanent audit trail, proper support, or tax liability relief. So yeah, many founders jump into the space, and really accounting, tax, CFO services are pretty much an afterthought, or they just dive in the wrong way. So, for example, their attorney says, hey, why don't you just set up 10 entities? That'll get you around 280E, and they just don't think it through. First off, that doesn't work if that's the only purpose, and secondly, that's just increased your accounting cost by a massive amount. So we want, in our program, we're for any client, we would want to see them have really world-class accounting books and records on as close to a GAAP accrual basis, including cost accounting, as possible. First and foremost, that will make it easier to raise money with investors and lenders. And we like to get in as early as possible. Definitely in the financial model and pitch deck stage, these founders are going to be spending money pretty quickly. I don't ever buy into the CEO pitch to me that, oh, Andrew, I'm a startup. We're not going to make revenues from our growth for 18 months. We're raising money and I got no money to pay you. And I'm like, well, if that's your attitude going into launch a farm or manufacturing facility, good luck. They're going to be spending lots and lots of money on their license, on their real estate, on their labor, on their attorneys, getting their just infrastructure, plumbers, electricians, etc. Many, many people to pay and many things to buy. And so I think if the smart CEOs will dive in and look at the importance of accounting, if we can get a really solid layer, even pre-revenue, for accounting, controls, governance, get that in place at the ground level, that sets us up to do everything else better. Sets us up first and foremost to interact with our investors and lenders and board so we can actually make good decision. How on the earth can we run our business if we don't know what it costs to grow a pound of weed or to make a box of gummy bears? That's step one. You can print reports all day long with pretty metrics and Excel files or sign up for software, but if you're not doing your cost accounting right, you're not going to know the cost of your product. That means you don't know your gross margin. That means you have no way to run your business. So CEOs need to run their business. So do boards. Investors want to know this stuff too. So we like to put in place rock solid accounting. We start with accounting policies and procedures, layer in controls, and then we'll build a permanent audit trail every month and install that in our perpetual data room so our investors and lenders and board and founders are always up to date and with accurate, timely financial information. And then we can build on reports and metric onto that as well to run the business better. And then that's going to always set us up good for when the auditors show up. We've got things tick marked and tied out. So whether it's the IRS showing up or a due diligence team for M&A, we're ready all the time. I get these comments over and over and over from people in the program. Andrew, a due diligence team came in, or the IRS came in, and they were just blown away by what we're doing to make make their life easy. They're just like, we've never seen this. Tick marks and tie outs are actually an amazing thing. Correct cost accounting, inventory counts, and support. Those are all great things as well. So that's what we do. And then when we get that foundation, we can layer on world-class reporting, improve cash flow, properly minimize taxes, and peace of mind that you know you're ready for anything, anytime. Another myth too, and I'm going to expand this one. It says CEOs say we can handle all the regulatory and compliance issues in-house. Every cannabis company I've ever found doesn't even give an afterthought to regulatory. And really, I'm going to expand that to all the back office, bookkeeping, HR, payroll, CFO services, software, compliance, FDA, regulatory, state regulatory, all those things that are just a headache and make your life miserable as a CEO. You don't want to do them. And most often they're just like, oh, those aren't important. We'll put them over there to the side. We have seen, hundreds and hundreds of articles, news articles around CEOs, everything from going to jail to humongous fines for getting out of compliance, whether it's with OSHA, with your state, with the FDA, with the IRS, doesn't matter. Very, very key role. And so my contention is, if I'm pitching to a client as a Dope CFO VIP member, is say, look, I got you covered. I'm number two. You're number one. You go out and deal with your product, your brand, your revenues, your growth. I'll take care of everything else. I don't care if it's software. I don't care if it's HR. I don't care if it's legal, entity structure, cap raise, investors, lenders, counting, tax, bookkeeping. We got you covered. We not only got you covered, we do it at a world-class level, and we deliver it with white glove service. That's a pitch that doesn't exist for the most part in the cannabis space. Very, very important. If I do all those things well as the number two, I feel I can add 20% to the value of your company. I don't care if it's a $100 million company or $5 million. Just tack on an extra 20% for what I'm going to do. I've proven this out over my career of 30 years over and over and over again. And the CEOs that get it, they're not just building a world-class product, they're building a world-class company. And they're going to be the ones that get things done right. Not to mention, we're going to have better handle on cash flows and projections so you don't run out of money. This is a very, very capital intensive industry. And so we want to make sure we actually have that foundation in place. Which leads me to myth number three. Just because a cannabis company has high revenue, their net income might be high as well, or even positive as well. You can very likely have losses. You know, just go look at all the publicly traded cannabis company. Most of them are losing lots and lots of money. Some of them insane amounts of money that they're losing. And that's not surprising. Startup industries, I've talked about this many, many times. We've seen this back to the year 2000, high-tech, software. What happens, and just look at Facebook or Google or Airbnb or Uber or these big names, you know, they lose money for years and years, if not decades, if not forever. Reddit, names that you've heard of. We see this in the crypto industry. We see this in other startup industries. We see this in cannabis. If you're going to start up a company in a new industry that's capital intensive, you better have deep pockets and be ready to fund those losses. That's the name of the game. You can still sell a company losing tons of money for high valuations. You know, I was involved with one company out of Bend, Oregon, a software company. Their investors early on, they had no trouble raising money. They raised round after round. Their first 4 or 5 years, they sold to Amazon for $500 million. And guess what? Their net income was zero. It wasn't even zero. It was a monstrous loss for the first 5 years. And their investors didn't care. They were like, we want you to dominate the market. They were the leader in the market. They had massive revenue growth. They had massive market share. And that's how the company was valued. They made $500 million with no net income. Is that possible in cannabis? Yes. I've seen my buddy Nick sold his dispensary here a long time ago, I don't know, 2017, for $1 million, totally losing money. He did his taxes right, made sure he's doing right. He borrowed money from his mom. He's like 24 at the time, ran his company a couple of years and sold for $1 million. So valuations can be based. And by the way, it's going to be affected by market conditions and right now what state you're in. So 5 years from now, when we're hopefully federally legal, a dispensary in Denver, Colorado might be worth the same as one in Portland, Oregon. Right now, it's totally different. So dispensaries in Oklahoma, where there's about 6,000 of them, are worth way less than a dispensary license in Chicago, where I think there's about 50. So that's going to affect your market as well. But we need to be prepared if we're CEOs. Lots of costs. I don't care what you're looking at. You know, real estate, labor, taxes, insurance, accountants, CFOs, attorneys, marketers, you're going to be spending money left and right if you want to build a world-class company. That should be part of your model. Don't make the mistake. My first company that I worked for, I came in after they did their capital raise, or I would have forced Sarah to redo her model. It was the most crazy model of, we're going to sell this weed at $2,500 a pound forever, and we're going to grow 1 gazillion pounds forever, and we're going to make trillions of dollars. That didn't happen. And she had great investors. They had very deep pockets. Some of them were out of the Home Depot family. They had endless amounts of money. But after she went back to them the second, third, fourth time, at some point they're like, we're done. We'll take the loss. She messed up by not raising the correct amount of capital going in. So if you're a CEO, make sure to raise that money going in. Okay, we could talk about a gazillion other myths, but I think that's good for today. And hope everyone has a great weekend. We will be at the AICPA Cannabis Conference. We will be talking to Congressman Aaron Smith, head of NCIA, people from the IRS, prominent tax attorneys, heads of big national accounting firms. I'll be teaching as well. So we're going to get a good gathering of new knowledge and the latest knowledge. We'll be putting it in our program for sure. And I'll give some updates here as well. So have a great weekend, everybody. You've been listening to the Dope CFO Cannabis Accounting Podcast. Every other Monday, we air tips and insights on cannabis and CBD hemp accounting. Make sure you subscribe today and also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. We're pretty much everywhere for more advice, tips, industry news as well. To find out more about our cannabis and CBD accounting program, visit dopecfo.com and don't forget to be dope.